So this morning we read from John's account of the resurrection. Last week it was the Gospel of Mark. This week, the Gospel of John. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nail in his hands, and I put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. For the word of God in Scripture, the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. So the Scripture that comes immediately before this story in John's Easter morning story, where Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. She mistakes him for the gardener. She finally recognizes him. They embrace, and Jesus tells her to go and to share the good news with the rest of the disciples. And so we assume that she did. And today's scripture begins, and we find the disciples later that day behind a locked door, and they are afraid. They are not celebrating. They're not sharing in this good news. We could make the assumption that they did not believe Mary's news. And then Jesus appears in front of them, and let's note what he does not say to them. He does not say, "Geez, guys, what do I have to do for you to believe and to trust? I mean, you betrayed me a few days ago, and now this. You still won't believe. Are you ever going to get this right? How can I ever trust you if you can't ever trust me? Just seems like you fail over and over and over again. You're just never going to get it right, are you?" That is not what Jesus said. He doesn't pile guilt on the disciples. He doesn't shame them at all. He's not out to get them for their lack of faith or their failure. And thank God. Instead, he gives them and he gives us this wonderful picture of God, a God who does not use guilt to get God's way, but comes to us with healing and mercy and forgiveness. What Jesus does do when he appears before this group of broken and fearful disciples is he shares peace with them and he invites them into this life of forgiveness. As they have now been forgiven, the disciples now have the power to go and forgive others. They are now to be this mystery of forgiveness, forgiven themselves, which gives them the power to go and forgive. And so the new reality of Easter, the new reality of resurrection, tells us that we have been set free and now we can set others free. So Easter in the New Testament, and especially in the Gospel of John, it's this earth-shaking, earth-rattling event. Jesus was alive again, but at the same time, it was so much more than that to the New Testament writers. It was as if everything had changed. The direction of all of creation had changed. And in a way, creation had started over again. It was reborn, not in a physical way, but maybe in a spiritual way. And so Jesus then offers peace to his disciples. And then he does something kind of strange. He breathes on them and he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, if you've heard this story before, you're probably used to hearing it. And you don't think twice about it, or maybe you're just kind of waiting to get to Thomas, the good part, and his doubts. But if you're hearing it for the first time, or haven't heard it that much, I wonder if you're saying, "Well, that was kind of weird." Jesus walks into the room, he gives the peace sign, and then he blows, breathes on them. "Well, that was kind of strange." Yeah, it is kind of strange. And as one of your pastors, I'm giving you permission to say that was a little weird. It is. But it brings us back to the very beginning of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 2, which Judy read, we have the second creation story where God creates humanity out of the dirt. And it's this wonderful picture. God scoops up some dirt from the earth and molds and shapes it into a human and then breathes air and breath into it. I think that story is one of the most intimate pictures that we'll find in all of Scripture. It is dripping with intimacy. God breathes into this first human, and the breath that we breathe is God's Spirit. The air that moves in and out of our lungs, Scripture tells us, is God's very breath. Let that picture sit with you for just a moment. And then in this story, God places the first human in a garden that has the potential for life. It's teeming with the potential for life, vegetation and plants that can grow and flourish. And God gives the first human the power and the authority to help create new life. That first human is to be a co-creator with God that helps bring forth new life. That is Adam's job description. But to bring us back to today's reading, and this very weird story of Jesus breathing on his disciples, the Gospel of John is telling us that at Easter, a new creation is taking shape, a new creation is forming. Jesus is alive again, but at the same time, everything has changed. And as God breathed the spirit of new life into Adam, now Jesus breathes it into the disciples. And they now have the power and the authority to help create new life. And so when we say he is risen indeed on Easter morning, we are celebrating the good news of that day, but we are also celebrating the fact that everything has changed. And so Jesus breathes on them, but Thomas is not there. Where was he? I don't know. The story then fast forwards a week to today. And Thomas is with the disciples, but they're still huddled together inside a room. They're not out sharing this Easter story. They're not living into this calling to be creators with God for new life. Nothing has really changed for them. Easter has come and it's gone. And life just went back to normal. And so, as I said at the very beginning of this service, Easter is a day and it's a season in the life of our church. There are 7 weeks to the season of Easter. 7 weeks. 50 days that lead us up to Pentecost Sunday. And Easter, in many ways, it kind of gets the short end of the straw, doesn't it? Really only gets one day. So leading up to Easter is the season of Lent, this 40 days of this slow walk to Easter. And then there's Holy Week and Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. And finally, Easter is here. After the entire 40 days, the culmination, Easter. And it comes and it goes, just like that. And we have to ask ourselves, I think it's a fair question, do we not celebrate Easter enough? Because without Easter, Christianity, it just isn't Christianity. It would still be powerful, absolutely, but it wouldn't be Christianity. Because Easter is our day. It's our bread and butter, and we really only give it one day a year. And I'm looking at myself here. I really only give it one day a year. If Lent is a time of self-examination and inner reflection and confession, a time where we peer inside ourselves and we find some weeds that maybe need to be uprooted, some areas in our lives that might need to change, then maybe Easter should be a season where we don't uproot, but we plant. We plant some seeds, and we intentionally wait for new life to be born and grow around us. Maybe that's one day that we celebrate this season. If Easter is a season that tells us that God has brought new life through the resurrection, maybe one of the best ways to live the season of Easter, to give it the opportunity to rub off on us a little bit for more than a day, is to watch new life grow around us, to remind us of the promise of Easter. So maybe during this season, we need to literally plant some seeds and actually get down into the dirt and watch them grow. Maybe this is the year, finally, where I start that garden in the backyard that I've been saying I was going to do for the last 4 years. But not to simply watch it grow, but to let it remind us of what the season tells us, that God brings new life, that is the promise and the hope of Easter. But besides literally planting seeds, maybe the Easter of season is a time for us to take up something new in our lives. Something that is life-giving for us and for others. Maybe it's a time to give something new a try. For it might open the door to new possibilities that weren't there before. It might be a doorway for us to hope. To hope in a way that we didn't realize was possible. Because if anything, the season of Easter is a reminder that we can hope. We can hope for new life to come in the most unexpected of places. So as I said before, I'll be completely honest. Easter for me, for the most part, has been a day. It's been a day and not a season. It came like last week and it was amazing, and then it was gone. But this year, I'm wondering, where do I see new life springing up around me? I'm wondering, where could I take on this season? Even if it's only for a month, this life, something that's life-giving for me and for others. I wonder what might point me towards the hope that we find in Easter. Because when we see that the new life that God brings is indeed possible, well, the story of Jesus breathing on the disciples, it won't sound so weird anymore. And this new creation that came about at Easter, we'll realize that it is working in and through us. For we are a people who are filled with God's Spirit. For we are a people who are agents of healing and forgiveness. For we are a people who know and who trust that God is bringing new life through each of us. Towson Presbyterian Church, that is who we are. The season of Easter is here. Thanks be to God.